We'll get a taste of Scandinavian holiday traditions from Norway in just a bit. And a little later in the hour, we'll hear about some truly unique holiday characters that the Basques and the Greeks welcome each year. Right now on Travel with Rick Steves, let's sample the holiday customs of France, where you get to eat a lot of very rich foods this time of year, guilt-free. Patrick Vidal and Virginie Moret are our guides right now for Christmas in France. Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. Rick.
Actually, Joyeux Noël.
Joyeux Noël.
Très bon, très
Joyeux
bien.
Noël. All right.
Your French is so good, really.
Thank you.
It's better every year.
It is, isn't it?
So
it
impressed.
Goes from miserable to less miserable. When you think about Christmas in France, what would distinguish French Christmas from Spanish or German or Italian Christmas?
But I think first thing we got to think of, and that's the general thing about France, is like you think about cooking or stuff like that, you got to be regional. It's different in every region of France.
Oh, that's right. So there are so many distinct regions in France that you can't just say French Christmas. You can say Brittany or Burgundy.
Or Burgundy or Provence or right. Alsace, which is much more Germanic.
There's some common things that we'll have, like the bûche de Noël, which is the Yule log. Mm-hmm. Except in southern France, they do the 13 different Christmas desserts. But otherwise, I would say the bûche de Noël.
What is a bûche de Noël?
So bûche is a log, so the log of Christmas, and it does look like a log. Really looks like, you know.
What is in it?
It's a rolled cake with chocolate and a cream. And trust me, at the end of dinner, you don't have room for this, but you do have to go through it, the whole log. So now they're making them out of ice cream because it's a bit lighter, but it's a real pastry cream that you actually use for this, but it's traditional.
All over France, that would be a common denominator.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Another thing as well is the fact that we celebrate mostly on Christmas Eve more than
exactly.
Christmas Day.
Okay.
The big party is on Christmas Eve.
Now, would that be mostly centered around a grand meal?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, it's in France.
It's
so,
yes.
But there are some, monsieur.
So describe the meal on Christmas Eve.
It will depend. I mean, the turkey.
Oysters. You have to start with oysters.
That's right.
Foie gras and oysters, I would say, are you have to have them for at least oysters.
Okay, yeah.
When I'm in Paris during Christmas time, there's oysters everywhere.
Yeah.
It seems like it's part of the season.
It's a big party thing, yeah.
You know, you have chestnuts roasting on open fire. Well, not so much. We got oysters.
That's the time of the year when they're the best.
Okay, well, that would make sense.
You have to have bubbles.
Virginie, what other memories do you have from your childhood of the grand dinner at Christmas?
The grand dinner, not having room, but finishing, you know, going to the end because you have to stay at the table and eat, and it's Christmas, so you will.
Yeah.
But it's, oysters, foie gras, those things that kids don't like, but, you know, we have the right to have champagne that night.
The kids can have champagne.
You have to have a little bit of bubbles. It's like when it's your birthday, you are an adult and you can do that.
So the kids have the, quote, right to have champagne.
To have a sip.
Christmas.
We don't like it, but we feel like adults.
You're part of the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we do eat at the table with the adults. And
because when I was little, we ate, you know, downstairs at the ping pong table. But you eat
not
at the
France.
Table with the,
not
with
in
the
France.
Adults.
And what I remember different from the U.S. is that we start dinner. When we have a big party, celebration, we don't start earlier like you guys do for Thanksgiving. We actually won't start eating until 9, 10, and then you can go to midnight mass.
Do you remember being tired when you were little at the table?
No, you don't want to go to bed because you're waiting for Le Père Noël, Papa Noël, Santa.
So midnight mass, and then how does the French Santa Claus work? When does he come and who is he?
I mean, it depends. It depends on the family. But in my family, Santa would, you know, you'd go to bed and then in the morning you'd had left your, we don't have stockings like you do in the U.S., but what we do is we leave our souliers. So our nice shoes that have been shoe shined.
Oh, you polish your shoes and you put them by the fire?
By the tree.
And what is the name of the Santa Claus in France?
Le Père Noël.
Le Père Noël.
Father Christmas.
Father Christmas. But he doesn't come down the chimney.
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
Oh, he does.
Mm-hmm. He does.
Oh, okay.
And you leave him, you know, a cookie and tea or something to drink.
Was there any sort of parental trick to terrorize children into being good so Père Noël will bring them presents?
Hey, you get to be on the good list of the Père Noël. And the opposite of the Père Noël is a Père Fouettard.
Uh-huh.
Which is the guy with the whip, which would come to you if you've been very bad. And
and whip you.
Is that right?
On Christmas morning.
We're not talking coal in your stockings.
Oh, no.
We're talking a whipping. So either whipping or a shoe full of goodies.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so you get the choices very quickly.
So what kind of presents would fit in your shoe?
The shoe is just an excuse. You put your shoe and there is a little treat, but then you get the big presents.
I think it's like any civilization. If I think of Occidental civilization at the time, you think of my parents, the present was an orange or a mandarin because that was an exotic fruit at the time and nobody had too much money and it was the thing. As we grew up, it was something a little bit bigger already, but it was one present and two presents maximum. I don't remember having more than that for Christmas. Nowadays, you've seen now the, I mean, you don't see the Christmas tree anymore. I mean, the presents are
the kids nowadays, they're so spoiled. In France too, huh?
That was the same thing.
Oh, yes, exactly. Same.
Is there a notion in France that Christmas is over-commercialized? Is there a reaction against that, or is it just a shopping festival?
It's not as much as in the States. We don't start as early. For you, as soon as
Thanksgiving...
I mean,
we're counting down the shopping
Thanksgiving's
days.
Over and you start. In France, I think December is when they start the thing, and
it's changing
earlier.
It's changing. The Christmas market in Paris settles on the 15th of November.
Oh, is that right? So there is this creeping thing, because now people are sort of appalled that they start the Christmas advertising before Thanksgiving, you know, and a lot of people just say, well, at least wait until Thanksgiving. So even in Europe, this is
it's
a creeping
exactly
commercialization.
The same. It's
global world we live in. So
Business is business.
Business is business.
But they usually don't put the lights. I mean, Paris might be the exception, but in smaller towns and villages, they put the lights December 1st.
The lights. What are those
lights? The lights. You put lights everywhere. I mean, not just Paris, the city of lights, but everywhere in France, we put lights, you know, everywhere. And then every small town will spend a lot of money, their budget, on buying those amazing lights that says Joyeux Noël.
That's right.
Bonne année. And when you enter the village, you see those.
Now, you're from Lyon, and Lyon is famous all over France for its lighting.
Exactly.
All year long. It's just beautiful, beautiful flood lighting, up lighting, changing lighting.
All of the monuments.
Does that include Christmas lighting?
I would say we do have the celebration of lights, which is in December, but that's not linked to Christmas in Lyon. But every big city in France, it's, you know, the shops are going to have the best window they can have. Even if people are not going to go shopping, they're going to go window licking, because that's what we do in France.
Window licking.
Yes. If you can't afford those amazing things behind the window, you're going to stick your tongue to the window and actually lick it up.
How do you say that in French?
Faire du lèche-vitrine.
Ah, lèche-vitrine. So it's sort of like dreaming about what's behind that window and just looking at it. I heard in Paris anyways, there's actually stools put out so the little children can stand on the stool and actually get a good view
In front of the Galerie Lafayette and the Printemps, which are the two big department stores in Paris on the Boulevard Haussmann.
So that's a tradition for the families to take the children.
That's a big thing. That's a huge thing. The crowd in front of those windows is just unbelievable. You can't even lick. You don't have the time to lick. You push by the crowd. You disappear. And they put those little stands here. You get steps on one side and the kids walk around. And you go. But the funny thing about that is that for years, the windows, the Christmas windows of those department stores were more or less made for kids to enjoy and kind of, it's not the case anymore. Mm-hmm. They're all big fashion thing, and so the kids walk up the thing and look at it.
It's boring.
So it's been taken over, and now it's going to be designer purses and shoes and things.
They will still try to keep a little bit of the spirit, I think, but a lot of them are now completely avant-garde, kind of very fancy thing.
Speaking of avant-garde, last time I was in Paris for Christmas, I was struck by displays of Christmas trees, and they were the most over-the-top designer trees. It wasn't just a normal tree, but it was avant-garde trees.
It's fashion. You have to have the best one, the biggest one.
That is sort of a Parisian approach to a Christmas tree, isn't it?
By talking about the avant-garde Christmas tree lights and things like that, I think every 5 years they change the lights on the Champs-Élysées.
Because the Champs-Élysées, you have to walk at
you
Christmas.
You have to walk it down. I mean, the up or down.
So you can go up to the Arc de Triomphe if you're lazy, and you can walk downhill all the way to the Place de la Concorde.
And the lights are just unbelievable. And for years they had those lights looking like if snow was coming down on the trees. It was mind-blowing. It was superb.
They have activities for the kids, you know, with the family. They have the ice rink, and the main one being the Hôtel de Ville, which is the city hall of Paris. And so it's free to use. You just rent your skates and you go there.
So you can skate in front of the Hôtel de Ville, the city hall, and that's an amazing place to just be with the community. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're celebrating Christmas in France right now with Patrick Vidal and Virginie Moret. Is there a tradition of singing Christmas carols or people going out? Or is it just limited to the midnight mass?
Yeah, no, it's not a big thing. It's really
family. I mean, for example, if you're in Paris as a tourist over Christmas and you want to go eat in a restaurant, you do have to book ahead of time. It's really a family reunion. The New Year's Eve is when we go out and we party with the rest of the people
outside.
Okay,
so Christmas is
family-oriented.
And it is the big dinner, and it is Père Noël coming. If you do go to church, midnight mass is the religious highlight of it.
We have nativity scenes everywhere.
Yeah. In America, a lot of people go to church two times a year, on Easter and on Christmas, you know. Is that pretty much the same
in France? You go for weddings, funerals, and Christmas.
That's it. So the churches are packed at midnight.
If they do it at midnight, in small villages, they wouldn't have attendance because people would still be eating at midnight. So they do it like earlier, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock.
In Brittany, if you go back to your childhood, what's your fondest memory of Christmas?
Waking up my brother, who's 3 years older, the morning of Christmas, and just running to the tree and seeing that the Père Noël, Santa, did actually drink a little bit of what I left for him and a bit of the cookie, and seeing all of the presents and no whip.
And
no
whip.
Fouettard.
No whip. And Patrick, what is your fondest memory of Christmas from your childhood?
I mean, I was playing with the boxes the presents came in.
Is that right? That both of those images could happen in anywhere in the world, I would imagine.
Of course, yes. Of course.
That's beautiful. Patrick Vidal and Virginie Moret, merci bien and joyeux Noël.
Merci, joyeux Noël à toi.
Now let's head to a land of reindeer and snow. Paul Johansen joins us from Oslo for a peek at the Christmas season traditions he enjoys in Norway. Merry Christmas, Paul.
God jul.
God jul.
Yes.
What does that mean exactly?
That's how we say Merry Christmas in Norwegian. God jul.
Is that good Yule time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jul.
God jul.
God jul. Mm-hmm. What distinguishes a Norwegian Christmas from maybe a German or an English or an American Christmas?
Well, first of all, we celebrate Christmas on the day of 24th of December.
Okay, so Christmas Eve.
That's Christmas Eve. That's the big day for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say the food is what distinguishes it.
Is this a time for hardworking parents to bring out all the traditional foods?
It is, it is. To some pleasures and to others nightmares in a way. So,
so explain.
Norway used to be a very poor country.
Right.
100 years ago, we were the poorest country in Europe, actually.
Wow.
So during the long winters, when people didn't have anywhere to store their food and there were no access to getting fresh food, they had to find ways to preserve food.
Before refrigerators.
Before refrigerators.
Oh,
and they developed all kind of techniques to do this. Like, for example, gravlaks, like digging down salmon.
So you'd bury salmon?
Yeah, they buried salmon to preserve them
or rot them with control?
The gravlaks is not rotten.
It's not, okay.
But there's another dish, which is called fermented trout.
Fermented trout.
Yeah,
so this would be in the inland.
In the inland, yeah, part of Lillehammer area.
I've never encountered that on a menu.
And you eat it with lefse, which
really?
Is this potato bread.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I can see young people kind of getting nervous before Christmas. Oh, we have to eat the fermented trout or the buried salmon.
The thing is that I don't really like the fermented trout, but I have to eat it anyways. It's not Christmas unless I eat this kind of thing.
So that's part of the ritual.
Yeah, it's part of the ritual.
But you know what? What really is my memory about Norwegian Christmas is all of the beautiful julekaka, the Christmas cake, right?
Yes,
Can you describe a julekaka?
Traditionally, every housewife made an assortment of julekaka, Christmas cakes.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's seven different varieties that they had to make.
Is that right?
You couldn't celebrate Christmas without having made the seven varieties.
Tables full of cakes.
Full of cakes all through Christmas. Eating, 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 sleeping, and then eating again.
Okay, so walk us through Christmas. First of all, actually, you have a Santa Lucia Day.
Santa Lucia, yeah. It's a pagan tradition.
Was it December 13?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. It's bigger in Sweden, actually, but we do it in Norway as well.
Uh-huh.
But in Sweden, the adults do it. In Norway, only kids do it in school. So they dress up in white dresses, and they come through the hall in the schools with lit candles, and then they sing the Santa Lucia song.
You know, I was in Norway once on Santa Lucia Day, and there was even candles in the cemeteries.
Yeah.
At the gravesites.
Yeah.
Explain that.
Well, that's how we commemorate the dead. And
so your loved ones who have died, you put a candle on their grave.
Yeah, and we like to do this, to visit the grave during the holidays.
Oh, okay.
So that's why especially during Christmas, you will see the graveyards are totally lit.
Just flickering with candles.
Yeah, it's very
nice.
And
I just love the scene of the Santa Lucia procession going through the graveyard up to the church with all the candles flickering.
Yeah, it's very special.
Very
feeling.
Nice. Yeah. Okay, so that's December 13th. And then Norwegians celebrate Christmas more on the 24th, on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
You have a big family dinner. And Norway is probably one of the least church-going countries in Europe. But on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, what's the church situation?
I'll be honest and say that most people don't go to church.
They don't even bother going to church on Christmas?
Not really.
Norway.
Well, there are more people going to church during Christmas, but the churches are not full.
It's more of a family thing.
It is a family thing, family
and
getting together.
When Christmas approaches, what are the children excited about?
Oh, the gifts. The gifts and meeting Santa Claus, or our version of Santa Claus, who is the Nisse.
The Nisse?
Yeah, Nissefar.
What is a Nisse?
Nisse is a gnome, actually.
Okay.
A little guy with a red hat and a woolen sweater.
And a big white beard.
And a big white beard.
Little short guy, about 1 foot tall.
Yeah, he is. And he lives out on a barn, on a farm.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, so on the Christmas Eve, your mother and father will make some porridge, and you go and put the porridge into the barn, and then a couple of hours later, you go out there again, and then the porridge is gone. The Nisa had come to eat it.
So the Nisa are there. Oh, there's evidence.
Oh, yeah, there's evidence. and then later in the evening, they come and knock the door, and everybody's exciting, and the children are screaming, and wow, the Nisa is coming, and he comes in the door with some gifts for the children.
Somebody dresses up like a Nisa and comes in?
I was actually a Nisa last year.
You were a Nisa?
Yeah, I was.
And you dressed up?
Did I dressed up.
Put on a beard?
Yeah,
and
scared my little niece.
And is there some way that parents can terrorize their children into behaving well by threatening them for no gifts from the Nisa?
Yeah, that's what we say. You have to behave well. If not, Nisa will not come this year.
Yeah, we say you got to be, are you naughty or nice?
Yeah, you know? Yeah. So, and then after the Nisa has visited the house, we go around the Christmas tree and sing Christmas carols.
Paint that picture for us. Is it outside, inside?
Oh, it's inside. It's inside in the living room. So
people gather literally all around the Christmas tree.
Around the Christmas tree, holding hands. This is something a Norwegian family would do if there are children.
And singing traditional carols?
Yeah, traditional carols and going around. And it's great fun.
What's the situation with the commercialization of Christmas? Is it a big shopping festival in Norway like it is in the United States?
It is becoming like that, I would say, unfortunately. And also we see the tendency that Christmas tends to start earlier and earlier. Historically or traditionally, it did not start until the first Sunday of Advent, which is end of November or start of December. Mm-hmm. But now we see that the Christmas decoration starts to come up in the beginning of November.
Creeping forward for more shopping, more retail activity.
Yeah, unfortunately.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We've been talking about Christmas in Norway with Paul Johansen from Oslo. Paul, let's close our little Norwegian Christmas discussion with one of your fondest, happiest memories as a little child of Christmas when you were a little boy in Oslo.
Oh, well, it's just the whole day. You wake up in the morning and you sit down and you watch some typical cartoons on television, and then you eat a lot of Christmas cakes, of course. And it's just like the excitement rising up during the day. And then you have the very good Christmas dinner. And
Rotten trout.
The rotten trout, yeah, and the dug down salmon. And we're all at the table so excited, you know. We see all the gifts under the Christmas tree and we can hardly sit. But,
so at this point, the Nisa has already come, you know that? There's two kinds of gifts. Gifts from your relatives and gifts from
Nisa.
Yeah, we have the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
When do you actually open the gifts?
Well, we eat dinner. We start dinner at around 5 o'clock.
Lots of relatives, people you haven't seen sometimes for a while.
Yeah, and then we open the gifts around 8 or 9.
Okay.
And then we go to bed pretty early, actually, like 11:30.
Really? Yeah. And then Christmas Day, the 25th?
Well, then we get up early and we have a Christmas breakfast, kind of the leftovers from the day before.
Paul Johansen, god jul, and tusen takk for helping us understand a Norwegian Christmas.
Vær så god, god jul og godt nyttår. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Oh, yes, go nuts at Christmas, but they still have lots of fun. Just the same as you, I enjoy it too. Merry Christmas, everyone.
If you're looking for something different for Christmas this year, wait till you hear about the holidays in Greece and the Basque Country. That's next on Travel with Rick Steves.